This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
That is Glasser, goal!
It's podcast 45 from Football Adania, your home of Dutch football. You're listening to us on YouTube, SoundCloud or iTunes. Get ready for a whale of a podcast with Michael Bell, Charlie Pritchard and myself, Michael Statham. We'll discuss the latest Eredivisie happenings, Feyenoord 6, Ajax 2, Giovan Bronckhorst leaving Feyenoord at the end of the season, and transfer news including Frenkie de Jong's confirmed transfer to Barcelona. We've also got loads of Twitter questions to answer. Thanks for sending those in. Mike, Charlie, let's get started with this Feyenoord Ajax game then. So it finished 6-2. Huge win for Feyenoord, huge defeat for Ajax. Let's get our sort of raw thoughts on it, because it's not long finished from the time we're recording. And, you know, it's massive in this season's Eredivisie title race.
Yeah, I mean, what an incredible result. One that I definitely didn't see coming. You know, going into the week, you know, you had Van Bronckhorst announcing that he was leaving. I thought Ajax would be well up for it because obviously they drew a hearing from last week, put a big chance to go top. I expected them to come out all guns blazing. Well, they did. They scored first, but you know, Feyenoord, this is usually a tricky tie for them. Usually, it's Ajax wins these games in De Kuip. Feyenoord haven't won in the league there since 2012 against them. But they were incredible after falling behind, and Ajax defenses couldn't handle Berghuis, Toornstra, Van Persie, all of them just getting in behind constantly. You know, finished 6-2. It could have been easily been 8 or 9. I mean, it's a massive game in the title race. That's something now 5 points behind PSV, and it's obvious now that Ten Hag has big issues to deal with his defence, and you know, some of the players just didn't show up today, and it's a worry going into such crucial ties against, you know, Real Madrid in the Champions League. And you got to look forward to the game at home against PSV now. Is now a must win. PSV don't drop very many points, they did last week, but usually they're the ones you can rely on, and can you really see them losing two games in a row now? It's going to be difficult for Ajax to get back into it. I think this game could be a big turning point in the title race.
Yeah, I thought that Feyenoord started really sloppily. Like, Ajax came out the blocks really well, and obviously the free kick from Schürrle was like always destined to go in, I thought. But then the crowd started getting on the back of the players, and the attack was flying in, and the intensity just came straight after that first goal that Toornstra got back for Feyenoord, and from then they just didn't look back. I know that Ziyech equalised, but I think that Feyenoord were just superb. The crowd were a really big part of it, and I think Michael tweeted out after the game, like, they always seem to rise to the occasion at De Kuip, and it's sort of frustrating because with losses in against Fortuna Sittard and Peck, like, really recently, they just seem to be a really inconsistent side. And apart from the two goals they conceded, I thought they were quite good defensively as well. I thought Verdonk was superb at left back and kind of minimising Ziyech's influence on the game. And in the midfield, they seem to do really well. But then obviously, yeah, RVP, Toornstra, Larsson should get special mention. He was really good, even though he didn't really get involved with the goals or assists. He was superb. And I think it was a really good way for Gio to go out as his last Clasico. I think it's the first time he's beaten Ajax as a player for Feyenoord, whether it's a player, he's beaten Ajax as a player or a manager for Feyenoord. So, yeah, nice bonus for him as well.
Well, it's good to hear that Charlie's at least waxing lyrical about Feyenoord. I think on the other hand, yes, Feyenoord were fantastic in De Kuip. But yeah, also how frustrating it is for Feyenoord fans that they don't get to see this very often. They also saw it against PSV, where Feyenoord just were the better team on the day, and the fans loved it, and it's a vicious cycle with the final fans winning on the players and the players winning on the fans, and that's why it's such a great atmosphere in that stadium. But on the other hand, Ajax were dreadful. And as Charlie said, I tweeted out after the match that it's just a question of mentality with Ajax. It's going to be a fifth season without a trophy if they don't pick up the cup or the league, or the Champions League. And it's just clear to see why. And this match is a perfect example. I've already picked up on the fullbacks being dreadful in that game, but also just a big game mentality, because in the Champions League the Ajax players can turn up, so why can't they turn up in the league when they're playing PSV or Feyenoord? They're huge games to pick up the points, and they clearly have the talent to win these games and the know-how, having done it in Europe. But I guess coming to you guys again, you know, why is it the case they can't turn up for big games like this? Is it a simple a case of they're just overconfident? They're thinking they can easily beat one of their league rivals, even if they're one of the top league rivals they have.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's an incredible stat going around after this game that you look at Ajax's defence in the league, the first half of the season, 17 games, only conceded 8 goals. The two games back after winter break last week, they conceded 4 against Heerenveen and, you know, 6 today against Feyenoord. Overconfidence definitely plays a part in it, I think. But then you've also got to look at the mentality of the players because, you know, last week, obviously the PSV game was before theirs, and they knew a win would have put them top, and they blew it, conceding in the last minute. Heerenveen definitely deserves that in the 4-4 draw. And again today, when they needed to, they couldn't handle it. I think it shows a lack of leadership at certain areas of the pitch, and some of the players just, maybe they're only playing for themselves at times. Players like Hakim Ziyech, he's great going forward at times, but he doesn't track back. As Rabiot was left out at sea, he went forward, he was caught out constantly. You know, Nana screamed in his face at one point, you know, to wake up. It didn't work. You got to look at the players like De Ligt, Shona. These players have to take leadership of the game, and they're not doing it at the moment. And it's a big worry for Ten Hag.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think too many of the players are looking after themselves and being too individual, for sure. I think there's kind of a complacency, perhaps. In the Champions League group, there was kind of not as much pressure on them, I don't think. You know, with Bayern obviously going to go and win that group, they perform really well. But I would argue that if we're talking about PSV as well, that they did themselves quite proud in their Champions League group, even though they finished bottom and didn't win many games. They were playing three absolutely, at times, world-class teams on their day. And I think that they play much more as a team. Obviously, they've got their individuals that are going to be looking at moving in the summer. But all the talk's been around De Ligt and De Jong. And today, De Ligt had a torrid time. He couldn't. He had Magalhães next to him, and it just looked like a horror show. They couldn't. They didn't. It's like Wright said, Fred. They didn't know how to defend at all. And I think they missed Talli Fico today. He's obviously picked up a knock. Ten Hag will be wanting to get rid of him if he's the one that recommended Magalhães, because he was terrible. And I don't think you can expect to win the title if you're losing 3-0 in Eindhoven and 6-2 in Rotterdam. It's just not. It's not the kind of form you want to expect. You can lose those games, sure, but to lose them so convincingly, and it's actually embarrassing. And I think Ten Hag will be bitterly disappointed with that.
Interesting point by both of you there, that a lack of leadership in Ajax. Well, I kind of disagree, because again, you saw that in the Champions League, how together they were, and why is it that can't work in domestic competitions?
Really, it comes down to, you know, it's the Champions League, it's something new. The clubs didn't really know what to expect from Ajax, really. I think the likes of Bayern Munich were cut out, Benfica definitely. And these are big European nights. I think the players just got themselves up for them ones a bit more. I think they were coming to Feyenoord, the Hagen sets in. It's a team that they're mainly used to beating in years gone by. And they've just taken their eye completely off the ball, I think. When got the fans and stuff like that, they start tweeting out that, you know, Feyenoord are awful and they're going to get beaten and stuff like that. That riles them up. And the atmosphere in De Kuip and the players, this seemed like every single 50-50 ball that or 50-50 challenge, Ajax is winning it. You know, Ajax weren't prepared to put their foot in. You know, maybe they see the game against Real Madrid is something that they all want to be fit for, so maybe they're not risking injuries and stuff like that. It's a couple of weeks away. You know, it's hard to put it down to one reason why, say, Ajax next week could go and bat our team 7-8-0, but today they were dreadful. It's something that is worrying for the mentality of these players.
Yeah, I think it was really revealing about Ajax today that if the game's not being played on their terms, they don't seem up for it. When the game's kind of in the balance and it's on a big night, as you just said, yeah, they can turn up for it, but you can lose in the Kuip, that's fine. Like, PSV lost there. That was their first loss of the season. But it wasn't embarrassing. They let their wounds, they've come back. I know they drew to Emmen the other day, but they're kind of maintaining this level. They're not leaking goals. They're not fundamentally changing everything. Van Bommel said before the winter break. He said, I'm not going to change things just because of Feyenoord. And with Ten Hag now, there's going to be a lot of question marks. He might have to change. He might have to bring in different personnel. He might have to shake it up a bit. Tagliafico, as I said, really big miss. You know, the fullbacks are so important, especially for Ajax and PSV in the Eredivisie. If you're looking at PSV, you know, Angelino and Dumfries are excellent the way they go forward. Ajax just didn't have any cohesion in their width today. And when it got played through the middle, Larsson and RVP were just linking up superbly, particularly for the second goal. And they just overloaded them. And there was just too much intensity for them to handle.
Yeah, I agree. And I suppose at the end of the day, you've got to look at how well Feyenoord played. But I again must question how Ajax can get themselves up for these big European nights, as you both said. But if you can't get yourself right up for the atmosphere in De Kuip, then you shouldn't be a footballer. That is the one of the top games that you can be playing, one of the best games you can be playing in. But we've spoken about Ajax, we've spoken about PSV briefly. And let's talk more about Feyenoord, because this is a two-horse title race still with Ajax and PSV. Feyenoord won't be catching up to this anytime soon. And one of the questions sent in by Abdul, he wants to know why Gio van Bronckhorst, who's leaving at the end of the season for Feyenoord, why he couldn't lead Feyenoord to win the Eredivisie title again.
Yeah, I think for me this is something that's frustrated me watching Feyenoord. I've said it on this podcast before. At times this season have been like horrendous to watch. They've been really dull, boring. They play low-tempo football at times. You know, it's talking about players getting themselves up for the bigger occasions, and that's the thing with this Feyenoord side. There seems to be a lot of players still around the club that, you know, maybe should have moved on by now. They've won the title 2 seasons ago. Maybe some of them think that they've done all they can with Feyenoord and they're not as up for it as they should be. They seem to be getting rolled over in some of the games that they should win, and then the games that you think that they shouldn't win, they do. Hence this one and the home game against PSV are basically their two best performances of the season. And I think that comes down to the coaching. If he can't get the players up for the games against, you know, the Peks Vos and the Fortuna Sittards, then it comes down to him, because he should be the one that's able to gee his players up, and he's not been able to do that all this season. You know, you don't need to get a Van Persie up for a game against Ajax at home. You do need to get him motivated for maybe Fortuna Sittard away, where, you know, intensity is not going to be that high. And I think after, you know, 4 or 5 years at the club, I think it has come a time now for a shake-up and a new man to come in charge.
Yeah, I think that with Feyenoord winning the title in 2017, a lot of players then departed. They lost Kongolo, Karsdorp, El Amadi, the talismanic Dirk Kuyt to retirement, and Elia. So I think Van Bronckhorst had to have the next season to kind of rebuild that team a bit and bring in some new personnel. And it didn't necessarily come off, and it's not necessarily come off this season. You know, going back with Van Persie, you know, he's retiring at the end of the season as well, so he's not a long-term solution. So maybe it's a case of Van Bronckhorst taking the team as far as they can go after the title, after that kind of emotional title race and kind of winning it on the last weekend. That's the kind of peak of what he could do with that team, and maybe at a better club with better resources, he could do more. So I think that it's always going to be hard when you're fighting against PSV and Ajax to compete for another title against them. It might have just been a one-off.
I think we can link the next question about Feyenoord into this part, because Ryan would like to know what's up with a Feyenoord youth academy. And I'd like to argue that part of the problem that Van Bronckhorst had was that he couldn't bring through enough of his youth products. And whenever that these players were playing in the first team, it was only ever because of necessity rather than wanting to develop the players. For example, Dylan Venter was only put in because of the necessity, as there was no strikers fit. Or Orkun Kocu is only getting his chance now. Ryan's asked about what's up with the Feyenoord Youth Academy, but arguably, is that purely because Van Bronckhorst wasn't giving his players a chance? Or is Feyenoord Youth Academy going through a tough spell at the moment?
With the academy, for the past few years, few players have left. The Chong went to Manchester United, lost a few others, and one of the reasons I put it down to is the fact that, you know, young Ajax, young PSV, they both play in the second division, professional football. You know, Feyenoord didn't go down that route. You know, there were some money troubles at the club for a time. They didn't really want to to put loads of money into the reserves, so they play at a weaker level, and some of the players, they lost some good talents because of that. And yeah, they've just not brought many through in the past couple of years. If you look at it, in the summer they had a chance to bring some into the team. There's Wouter Burger as well, he's one that's coming through. El Bachitawi is another talented one, but you know, they re-sign Jordi Klaase, they sign Yasin Ayoub. That's two midfielders for one spot. You know, there's not going to be a young talent coming through there. They've got Van Persie, they've got Jorgensen up front, that holds back Venten unless one of them's injured. I think the club just don't have their eye on the youth at the moment. And maybe that's something that'll change when a new coach is brought in. If there's a lack of funds, then you've got to look at Corky, because he's been linked to a move away to England and to Turkey. They can't lose, keep losing players like that, and something has to change.
Yeah, I think there needs to be kind of a re-evaluation of expectations, because they, since the title win, you've kind of, I think it's kind of a case of giving Van Bronckhorst a bit more time to see if he can do it again. And now he's obviously admitted that he wants to leave at the end of the season. And that might be an admission of saying, I can't do any more with this team, I can't do it again. So, yeah, I agree. I think with a new manager, the club can work closely with him and say, right, what's the pathway going to be for the academy? How are we going to kind of promote this? Are we going to put a kind of number that we want to see coming through from the academy and stop buying players just to kind of fill gaps for the short term and look for longer term solutions? And that could definitely help Feyenoord going forward. European football might not have helped them when they got into the Champions League group and they were humiliated against Man City and things like that. And then obviously this season in the playoffs, they didn't do very well. So they kind of need to kind of, I think they should reevaluate where they're going, and then they can hopefully compete with Ajax and PSV in the future.
Well, this brings us on to the next question from Jordan, who would like to know who will be in the frame as the next final manager. Who would you both consider?
The name has been mostly linked is Maurice Stijn, and VVV Venlo coach. I think he was pictured with one of the final directors. Said it was for something different, an auction, and Stijn was donating shirts to it, or something like that. But you know, he's one of the coaches that's done really well in the Netherlands in the past couple of seasons. He's done wonders with VVV. And he's been linked to other positions in England. It'll be a good move for him if he goes for it. I know Dirk Kuyt was getting pushed forward for it because he's the under-19 manager at the moment. But I think they've denied that. So I think Maurice Stijn for me is the one to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I think Maurice Stijn for sure. He's been dealing with a lot of... he's had to kind of manage a lot of loan deals at Venlo, and a lot of their players haven't been there for... with a kind of long-term pathway. So I think if he got his hands on some of the really good young talents coming through at Feyenoord, then he could certainly nurture them into a really good team and take some of his talents from a lower team in the league to a bigger club. But then also another name that Reggie Blinker mentioned was Henk Fraser at Sparta Rotterdam, and he was his pick. So there could be a good shout in there, but that could be risky bringing in a player and a manager from the Eredivisie. I think Maurice Stijn's probably deserved a move to a bigger club for sure.
Agreed. And I know we had a question this week about who the best manager outside of the top three Eredivisie clubs is within the Dutch league. And I think my answer to that would be Maurice Stijn as well. We're all big fans of him at Football Daniel. He's a fantastic manager, and he's just proven at VVV that he's ready for that next move. I think they have to be very careful, they find whoever they pick next, because if they're looking within the league, there are some good options. But I think someone who was a great manager at his previous club, Mitchell van der Haag, who did a great job at Excelsior, moved on to NAC Breda. And we all thought with a little bit extra money, only a little bit extra than he would have had at Excelsior, that he would then push on and push the club up the table, but it just hasn't happened, and he has really struggled at NAC Breda, having all these different players, too many options, the same position, chopping and changing, and it's just not what we expected of Van der Haag at the new club. Let's just hope that Stijn isn't the same scenario where he goes to a bigger club and doesn't quite work out for him. And we spoke about Henk Fraser there. He did win Vitesse's cup a couple of years ago, but apart from that, he didn't set the world alight at Vitesse, not really at Arden and Haag either, and a good job at Sparta. But is he a top three Eredivisie manager? Debatable. But yes, if Fine are going to look within the league, I think Maurice Stein is perhaps the best option at the moment. Okay, so moving on to transfer news, so a second sort of big topic of this podcast. We're just at the end of January and we're wondering where certain players might go. There's been some huge transfers happening, and the biggest one of those has been Frenkie de Jong, who's made his huge transfer to Barcelona. He's confirmed it's going to happen in the summer. And to kick us off, Mike asks a question. Not Michael Bell. He wants to know, though, Mike, is Frenkie de Jong good enough to go straight into the Barcelona starting 11?
For me, he is. I think he's definitely good enough. You've seen it in the games that he's played for Netherlands, against France and Germany. When he's controlled these games from the midfield, he just effortlessly breezes past players. He can control the games. You know, today aside against Feyenoord, he's been having a great season. And I'm really excited to see what he can do in Barcelona. I think it's a club that suits him perfectly with the way they play. I think he'll have, you know, behind the scenes, there'll be a lot of love from there. He'll be nurtured well, he'll be treated well, and he'll be given opportunities to start the season and to show what he can do. And every level that he's come through so far, whether it be jumping from Willem II to Young Ajax straight into the Ajax 11, and Ajax to the Netherlands side in the Champions League, he's taken it all on his stride. He's looked excellent whenever he's been playing. So yeah, I think he's Netherlands' biggest talent there is. And I can see him being a great player for Barcelona next season.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see Frenkie de Jong move to Barcelona. It was the move I think I would have preferred for him to make instead of PSG or Man City, because of kind of that romantic link between Dutch players and the Catalan club. If you're looking at, you know, Van Bommel, Kluivert, Koeman, obviously both Johans, Niskens and Cruyff as well. So that history is kind of on his side, as we've mentioned. And I think immense credit's got to go to Willem II for his development. I know they will get some money from that as well. But I think the most exciting aspect is kind of how's he going to develop at the club and where's he going to play? Is he going to be kind of the Xavi or Iniesta kind of style? Is he going to sit like Busquets? There are some good questions there. And I think he'll go straight into that team because Barcelona, since Xavi and Iniesta departed, they've been kind of umming and ahhing about which kind of midfielder they want. They've gone with robust midfielder in Vidal and more of a Xavi replacement in Artur. So I think De Jong will certainly fit in, and he's a massive signing, so they'll be under pressure to play him if Valverde's still there. And I certainly think he can kick into that next gear and go to the next level.
Oh yes, very really excited to see De Jong make it to Barcelona, and it'll be interesting to see if he can handle that level. And we've seen it on the international stage that he can really stand out. But is he going to face a bit of adversity when he first moves there? I think it just be really interesting to see how he deals with it. And because I think he will be thrown in there. I don't think he would have moved to Barcelona had he not been told that the plan was to have him as a starter from the get-go. I truly believe that he has gone there because he was told that he would have that chance and he might not have gone otherwise. And on the topic of Frenkie de Jong, Dolwyn would like to know, who will be replacing Frenkie de Jong at Ajax? According to German outlets, they're targeting a Bayern Munich youngster, Meriton Shabani. So is de Jong going to be replaceable? Are Ajax going to pay for somebody to replace him? Or is it someone that's going to come through the youth system instead? Or is this Shabani from Bayern Munich the answer?
I think if you're looking at what you want to bring through, Carol Eiting is the one that I'd suggest would be a midfield starter from next season. It was actually at the start of this season he was in the midfield and Frenkie de Jong was in the defence. He suffered an injury since then which kept him out of the team. But he's another exciting midfielder that's coming through Ajax at the moment, and he's definitely one to watch next season, as well as Ryan Gravenberch, the young midfielder who did so well for Netherlands under-17s when they won the European Championships. He's another one that they've pinned a lot of hopes on coming through the academy, and I think those two will be starters or definitely more involved in the first team next season once a lot of the stars depart.
Yeah, I agree. I think those two will definitely slot in, and it's an interesting one because when you lose a player who's got such a high transfer fee and has got so much hype around him in such a short space of time, it could be quite hard to bring someone in with that expectation. But I'm sure the Ajax fans will understand. They're used to a lot of players leaving and for big money. So I think they should adopt the same approach in replacing him that they have done usually, which is nurturing and not, you know, spending that money. Because it's a lot of money. They could go out and buy a top midfielder, but it's about the attraction. So I think definitely, yeah, bringing someone in from lower down would be much better.
Well, it's the Ajax way to have a youth product come through, isn't it, and reach that first team. And Ryan Gravenberg is that answer. He's that next midfielder to play in that position. He's very young, though, but we all know his talent and his potential. And why not get into that now? Why not tap into that and just see how he does at a first team level? Plenty more to come in this podcast, though, about other Eredivisie teams and their transfer business. But on the last question about Ajax, William would like to know, with the Frenkie de Jong money coming in and other impending moves at the end of the season, thinking, you know, De Ligt, Neres, how do you see Ajax spending on transfers in the summer market? Who would they target within the Eredivisie, or, you know, how would they look to spend abroad?
I think they'll spend a big chunk of it. I think they'll be under pressure too, because they're going to receive so much money. If you think about what I've turned down for Davin Neres this month, you know, a reported fee more than $45 million, which is just crazy for someone that's been sitting on their bench for most of the season. What are they going to get for De Ligt? For Ziyech, then, you know, possibly Dolberg, if he goes, Van de Beek, Tagliafico, all these players, Onana. I mean, they're going to be super rich come the summer, and then there's going to be, you know, some pressure on Mark Overmars to get the right people in. If you're looking at the Eredivisie, I don't think there's very many players around at the moment that would necessarily improve them from other teams.
I would suggest Ritsu Doan, or as you're about to say him, Mike, Ritsu Doan at Groningen, because I think he'd be a fantastic placement for Hakim Ziyech.
The only three I would suggest would be Doan, Odegaard, or Calvin Stengs. I think those are the three that are maybe the gems outside the top three in their division at the moment. And they're the ones I think they'll target. They're definitely Calvin Stengs. I've seen a lot of rumours on social media, Ajax fans calling for him to be signed after he scored a couple of goals for AZ. He's, you know, a very exciting winger. I think he could be the replacement for Neres. But outside the Eredivisie, you know, they surprised us with Dusan Tadic. Who knows who they could go after with the money that they have. They could bring in another couple of experienced, you know, top level players to improve their squad next summer. I think it's, you've got to see it as a transition summer with all the players they're going to lose, but it's also an exciting summer, and who could they target and who could they bring in, because there's going to be a lot of deals to be done.
I agree that Ajax could go in and get someone that is more experienced into their team. I think that the blend that they've got this season, well, it seemed before they lost 6-2 to final that it was the perfect blend of players of experience and youth. Ajax ways to bring through these young players, but also that Tadic has been such a great addition. He's scored plenty of goals this season, and there's nothing stopping them with the money they're going to get this summer spending it all on another experienced, high quality player. It's just about who they can attract to the Eredivisie with that lure of European football, and winning the title, Champions League, it will attract those kind of players. But yes, it's just going to get tricky year on year, and whether they can keep the likes of Tadic, who, even though we're only been there for a year, whether he wants to move on, having had such a great season, with only so few years left in his career. I think it's really tricky, and I was saying on Twitter the other day that they're going to get about nearly €250 million to spend. Who do they spend it on? I think some of it will go back into the club, some of it will go on the youth academy, but surely yet again they will spend some money. And especially with Magallan not really impressing at centre back, De Ligt leaving, I'd have thought another centre back would be the key priority in the summer. I don't think they'll like for like replace De Jong. I think they'll rely on getting stronger players in other areas of the pitch, perhaps another winger. But it's going to be a very interesting summer, and we always know with Dutch clubs it's always a summer of change. Whoever does well is going to end up moving on. Let's change our attention to PSV slightly. We have a question about Stephen Berkwein, and good luck reading this Twitter handle. Scheherazade, something like that. He would like to know whether we rate Stephen Berkwein as he's been linked to Manchester United. And if I'm going to chip in, I think all of us really love Stephen Berkwein. He's made such a great impression with PSV, Dutch national team. But Manchester United, is that his level?
For me, I'd say no. Not at the moment, because we saw what happened with Memphis Depay a few years ago. Going to Manchester United, getting swallowed up in the Premier League. A couple of bad performances, the fans were already on his back. He couldn't really turn it around. You know, he's got his career back on track since leaving, but you know, he'd already won that for Bergwijn. I think he'd be smarter going to an intermediate step or a club that has more tradition with playing a lot of youth talents. You know, he's been linked to Bayern Munich. I think that'd be a bigger fit, mainly because they're going to lose a few wingers this summer. I think he'd slot in there. And if he goes to Man United, is he really going to get playing time? You know, you got Martial, Lingard, you know, Rashford can play on the wings. Is he going to go there as a starter? Probably not. You'd have maybe a new coach going in there as well. Who knows what he'd be thinking? I think it'd be a lot of pressure on him if he went to Manchester United, whereas if he went to a club like Bayern Munich or maybe even like a Tottenham, there'd be a much less pressure on him to succeed straight away. I think that'd be a much smarter move for him. He's really talented, and you know, the Manchester United is the level that he should be aiming for going forward, but I'd just like to see him maybe take one step before going there.
Yeah, he's certainly got the potential to move to a really big club. But I agree, I don't know where these links come from, because United really don't need another winger, because at the moment it's looking really promising with Martial, Lingard and Rashford going in their front three, that they don't need to put someone else in there. They've got also Sanchez, who they hope will turn into the player they think they bought. I think Bergwijn should go to a club where he would make that natural path. And if he's following in the path of in the footsteps of Memphis and he's learning from his experience, he should maybe resist from going to such a big club where he might not get played and he might not be given that trust straight away, and think that Memphis is now thriving in a different league with a big club, and maybe see where he can go from there to a club that actually needs a winger and they're crying out for a new star to be born.
I agree. Man United is a little bit of a step too far maybe at this stage of his career. I think Berkwijn might be better suited going to the likes of a Spurs perhaps, or top of Italy, somewhere where he'll earn a lot of money. He's going to have a big transfer fee, but not someone who's going to have a lot of pressure on him. Memphis had a lot of eyes on him at the time. Manchester United is already that global club where everyone's looking at you constantly, but with someone like Spurs, and I'm not saying Tottenham are a small club, but they certainly will have less pressure on having to succeed. And I think if Berkwijn worked his way into the first team and eventually became that starter they relied upon, I think it might suit him slightly better rather than a shock effect at going to such a huge, huge club. Let's move on to another transfer rumour then that's going to happen either this month or in the summer. Let's talk about Branislav Kuvas. He's been at Heracles for so, so long, but NM would like to talk about Kuvas and what's going to happen with him this month or in the summer. Is Heracles now his level? He's 25 and he's still there.
Yeah, I think if you look at Kuvas, it's a very similar situation to Mahi at Groningen. They have like a upsurge in form. Sometimes they score a few spectacular goals, and then the media attention goes onto them, and they get linked with moves, but then they can't keep it up, and then eventually the links go away. There was a point where Kuvas was getting linked to getting a call up for Netherlands, which never came along, and I think he's now accepted that he's not going to play for the Dutch national team. He's getting to that age where you'd expect him to make a move by now. There isn't anybody circling this month. His form hasn't been that great since the start of the season. I know Heracles had a great start to the season, but it was mostly Christopher Pettersson that was getting the plaudits for that. Kuvas was on the bench for a few games. He's not really kicked on since last year, and I think he will move in the summer, but I don't think it's going to be to a big club. It'll be somebody like what we've seen from Zanelli at Heerenveen. It'll be like a Stade de Reims, a lower lower side that picks him off eventually. Yeah, I just can't see him making a big move now.
Yeah, it's always natural when a team starts the season well and they go into a good run of form that if they're scoring a lot of goals as well, that their attacking players will get a lot of attention. And, you know, Harry Clay's with two wins from the last 10 matches have really experienced a slide. And he's a good player, Kouas, but it will probably be a sideways move in the terms of moving across to a decent mid-table team in another league if he is going to move. And he probably won't procure much of a transfer fee.
Yeah, Branley Kouas perhaps is at his level in the Eredivisie. And I think since he was frustrated at not getting to leave in the summer, he just hasn't been the same kind of player. Another attacking player who's looking for something bigger in future, Martin Ødegaard. I know for Real Madrid at Vitesse Arnhem. He has been better, hasn't he, this season at Vitesse Arnhem. But again, I think you're looking at him trying to really kick on now, but it's not going to happen for him, perhaps at this top level. And Anderlecht would like to know more about him and whether or not he should go back to Real Madrid or get another loan, perhaps to a La Liga side.
For me, I think, you know, Odegaard still says his dream is to be a starter at Real Madrid, but his performances for Heerenveen, they've been better. Sorry, for Vitesse, they've been better than they were for Heerenveen, but he still goes missing in games. You know, today Vitesse went down to Fortuna Sittard, and you know, you wouldn't have even noticed that Odegaard was on the pitch for most of the game. Then there'll be a game maybe next week where he'll start and he'll give an assist and a goal. But he's just not doing it consistently enough. He's not doing it on that level that Real Madrid are going to start saying that, yeah, he's going to start for us, especially that Real Madrid at the moment are going through a difficult period. And I think in the summer we're going to see a lot of transfers at that club, and I think they're going to go out and sign a lot of players. You know, I think Odegaard maybe needs to be smarter and decide that, yeah, maybe this is not going to happen for me here. I'll get a permanent move to another club and try and build myself again. You know, he's been linked to Ajax, you know, constantly, and maybe that's the kind of club where he can develop more and become the replacement for Hakim Ziyech and star there, then maybe get another big move to another big club. But I think it'd be smart for him to get away from Real Madrid and that pressure of going out on loan constantly from them, and you know, start to rebuild himself at somewhere else.
Yeah, it's a real shame that in a way that he went to Real Madrid straight away when he was so young, and it kind of built up this expectation that he was going to be a playmaker for them, who would go and score loads of goals, get loads of assists and be the star for the future, when in fact he's kind of a typical young modern playmaker who's quite diminutive. He doesn't necessarily get loads of stats in terms of goals. He's got 3 this season in the league. That's not his style, but it certainly hampered his development, this kind of umming and ahhing about what his future was at Real Madrid. And he got his debut, but then went back to Real Madrid B, went into the Eredivisie, did okay, but yeah, he does go missing, and that's unfortunately the way it's gone. He's still only 20 years old, but it would be beneficial for him, I think, to get out of Real Madrid and kind of rebuild his career somewhere else where he can be a bit more, he can have a bit of love and people trust in him a bit more, and they really take him under their wing as a football club somewhere else.
Whilst we're on the topic of this area of the Eredivisie, who is your favourite for fourth place in the league this season? I mean, I'm asking this question because there's been a lot of inconsistency this weekend with the clubs that are chasing the top three, and a lot have had ambitions to chase the top three down, but with final playing the way they did against Ajax, Vitesse, AZ, Utrecht, or maybe even VVV or Heracles, who would you both tip for fourth place this season?
I think before today, my eyes would have been on Utrecht, but I'm actually going to go for AZ. I think that with Stengs coming in to some form, Sinchin's up front scoring some goals, their defence seems to be getting better since the winter break. I'm going to tip them just ahead of our clubs that are just a bit too inconsistent. Vitesse were awful today. Utrecht were awful today. You know, AZ right now are playing Heerenveen, and we'll see if they can get a win there to propel them up the table. But I think they'll finish the season strongly, and I think they'll just pip it to fourth place.
Yeah, I would have said Utrecht before Christmas because they were on a good run. They've lost their last 3 games now, so it's not looking as good for them. Vitesse are quite inconsistent, and if RZ, yeah, if they beat Heerenveen, they can pick up a bit of consistency and really finish the season well and go for that fourth place. But it is a bit of a shame for Utrecht because they were doing well under Overcutt. They were better at the back. They were scoring quite a lot of goals. They were blowing teams away at times, and they've just fallen away. And it's going to be hard for them to kind of regain that momentum going forward.
Okay, I also agree, Mike. And I think it will be RZ that will pip everyone else to that fourth place position. Strange we're going on with Vitesse at the moment. Leonard Slutsky, it's just not going well at all. They keep dropping points against the lower league teams. Another defeat against Fortuna Sittard this weekend. It's just dropping weekend by weekend for them, and I'm starting to get a few questions over Slutsky's job, which is a shame because I rated him a lot start of the season. I still think he's got a lot to offer at the club, and I hope he keeps working hard there. One last topic to talk about. Rawhide and Jordan both put in questions about Vincent Janssen. They want to know what's going to happen with him. Is a transfer likely? And Jordan in particular would like to know if he's going to end up back in the Eredivisie. I've always said that he'll end up back at RZ Alkmaar. And if that doesn't happen in January, it'll happen in the summer. What about you two?
Back in Eredivisie this month is going to be difficult. I think Tottenham want to get rid of him permanently. Janssen wants to leave permanently. I think there's going to be a Premier League club before the end of the transfer window that needs a striker that will end up paying the money that Tottenham want. I think Tottenham are going to get desperate before the 31st to sell him. You know, there's some rumours going around that they'll accept, you know, between 12 and 15 million for him. I think that's going to drop in the next 4 days. I think Burnley are the club that are linked. I think that would be a good move for him, a chance for him to prove himself back in the Premier League. I just can't see him moving back to AZ this month because I don't think they're going to pay 10 to 11 million, but I think another Premier League club would, maybe even one from somewhere in Europe that just comes out of the blue and needs a striker will go from. And I think it's a big shame because I don't really know what's happened with him and Pochettino, but you think Harry Kane's out injured, you think they would give him a chance. Fernando Llorente's been pretty horrific for them. The Cubs fans have been asking why he's not been given a game. He's been scoring for the under-23s. He's had a couple of assists as well. I think he would have got maybe another opportunity there, but you know, Pochettino is just refusing to use him. And then I hope it comes back to bite him because I hope Janssen goes on to another club and regains his form because he's not now just a terrible striker because he's not made it at Tottenham. Before that, he was banging in the goals left, right and centre for AZ and Netherlands. He had a big bright future ahead of him, and I think he can regain that form by going to somewhere that shows him a bit more confidence.
Yeah, it's all about the interest. I mean, Spurs want that kind of 12 million kind of range bracket. So from their point of view, it would be better if a lower league Premier League team, position Premier League team, come in for him. A team that's struggling down at the bottom who need goals, perhaps like Huddersfield or as you said Burnley, and. Maybe even, well, Fulham have got Mitrovic, but then just a team that kind of needs to have a big pickup. But then he's a player that's not played at all. He's been in the under-23s doing not much, and it's a bit of a risk. But for sure, the Eredivisie clubs, I don't think, will risk spending £12 million on him. And it'd be better in the summer to kind of reevaluate it and go from there instead of doing it in January, because that could be even more detrimental to his career if he moves somewhere else and doesn't have a good 6 months, because there'll be a lot of pressure on him. So it's really unfortunate for him personally, for sure.
Charlie, Mike, thank you very much for joining me in this podcast.
No problem. Cheers.
My pleasure, mate. Cheers.
And we'll be recording another one very soon, hopefully, especially with Ajax against Real Madrid in the wings. Bye for now.